In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Great things happen when you're kind and when you're humble. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be some sort of theological master. You don't even have to be some sort of great practitioner of prayer. Be kind and be humble. These are the principles of life. If you're not kind and you're not humble, you're nothing. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. If you're not kind and you're not humble, all is lost. But if you are kind and humble, then God hears this, because that's speaking God's language. Because God's language is kindness and humility, or you could say love and humility. So when we love and when we're humble, then situations happen. And God is present in them, and great things happen from very lowly beginnings many times. And we have an example of that today in Saint Fortuny. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's called equal to the apostles. Fortuny, photos is light, means enlightened one. The same name in Russian is Svetlana. She was baptized with the name Fortuny. She was a Samaritan, which means that she was basically a Jewish heretic. There's all kinds of details about that, and if you're interested in the history, you could read about it. But the important thing is that she didn't believe correctly about God. She had misconceptions about God. Now, she believed her misconceptions firmly and with her heart. And this really is why she ended up listening to Jesus, because she saw someone else who believed something firmly and with his heart. And so she was a heretic. Not only a heretic, but because of the way things happened, the Samaritans were really formerly Jews. And they still considered themselves to be Jews. But they were Jews who basically got involved in paganism. And eventually they were basically free of the paganism, but then they had a lot of bad details in their religion. And the Jews hated them. Now, the Jews didn't understand about love. That is, as a people, they didn't. Of course, individuals did. But as a people, they didn't understand about love. It was about legalism and the law. And for them, a Samaritan was lower than a dog. You don't talk to a Samaritan. You don't give them the time of day. If you even touch a Samaritan, you're considered unclean. Certainly, if a Samaritan would go into a particular place that was mostly in the Jews lived there, they would be probably at risk of losing their life, or at least getting beaten up. So she was a Samaritan, not a pure Jew. And Jesus comes to this well, sits down, and his disciples, of course, the Lord arranged all of this. He knew it was going to happen. So it's not happenstance. It's not a mistake. It's not serendipity. There's no such thing as serendipity. The Lord is at the well, and she comes, and his disciples are gone getting food. And it's late in the day, noon or so. And that's a weird time to be getting water. Usually you want water for the morning, for cooking and for cleaning, and you don't want to get it when it's hot. Who wants to go tote water when it's hot outside? But she was doing that. She was a woman who was really not in even good standing in her own community. So she probably was pretty lonely and probably did things by herself because people didn't really appreciate her. They thought she was a sinner, and she was. But the Lord is sitting here at the well, and this woman, who's, of course, he's omniscient, he knows that she's a sinner. She's living with a man without marriage. She's had five husbands. And she's a Samaritan to boot. And to be perfectly frank with you, in that society, men did not speak with women, strange women. So all of those things, and what does the Lord do? He immediately says, "Give me to drink." Why? Because this was a woman whose heart was ready to hear the truth. And the Lord didn't care if she was a Samaritan or if she was a Babylonian or who or Canaanite woman or anything. He would speak to her because he was kind. Now, if he had stood by the principles of the day, he wouldn't have said a word to her, and she would have kept her head down and stayed out of his way, even though this was in her territory. But he talked to her because he was kind. Now, I wonder, how many times has it been that you've said something to somebody that they needed? Because of kindness, you said something to somebody, or you listened to somebody. Maybe you listened to that person who goes on and on and is kind of boring, but they needed you to do that. Maybe you talked to that person who's a little weird, but they needed comfort. There's a true story that I once read about a boy who used to bring all of his, he used to leave his books at school, but he brought them all home. And everybody was pushing him and bullying him. He was a kid who everybody bullied. And one guy, who was basically a very popular person, he said, leave him alone, and he helped him carry the books home. He didn't know this, the guy who helped him. But this is an amazing story. The boy was going to kill himself. And he wanted to bring his books home because he didn't want his mother to have to go to the school to get them. But he was dead set. He was going to kill himself that day because he couldn't stand it anymore that people were so mean to him. But this one act of kindness, just carrying a boy's books home, and he decided, I'm not going to do it. And they actually became friends for life. He didn't know. He wasn't omniscient. But see what kindness can do. Perhaps this is just a secular story. Who knows what kind of person this was? But he was kind. And because of that, a boy didn't kill himself. Perhaps there's incidents like that in your life that you know of, or more likely that you don't know of. And perhaps there are many incidents in your life that you don't know of where you were not kind and someone was hurt grievously because of it. All the people on the bus that watched that kid get beat up and his books thrown everywhere, they were not kind. And if everybody had been like that, that boy would have been dead that night. So this is why kindness is so important. Because kindness is to be like God. It's very critically important. I've given you a saying before. If you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. Somebody asked me at the monastery recently, became Orthodox. And he'd heard some people with some of their legalistic stuff about fasting and everything. Fasting is very important. Very important. But we fast in order to become good. We're not good because we fast. We need to fast to become good. It's a great help. But fasting without kindness is of the demons. And he asked me this question. We were working with the goats because he was on the work crew with me. And he was perplexed. He said, Father Seraphim, what do you think about a person who fasts very strictly but is mean? So he knew somebody that's mean, but they fast. What a great witness for fasting, huh? And this is when I told him basically what I just told you. Fasting is important, but it's in order to become good. And the epitome of being good, the summit of being good, is to love. And if you love, then you are kind. Not just kind to your children, to your family, to your friends, but kind to the kid whose books are all over the ground because people are making fun of him. Kind to the weird kid. Kind to the person who's always surly in the office. Kind to the person who's always just out there with the things they say, and maybe their language is profane and very sexually oriented and all that stuff. And they're really kind of hiding the misery in their soul. But you're not going to know about that unless you are, shall we say, out of your box and think about every person needing God and needing kindness. Remember, kindness is the language by which we speak to God and God speaks to us. Very critical. This story is about kindness. Because the Lord knew that this woman was ready. She's really a very noble soul. We call her equal to the apostles. I didn't follow my notes. I was going to tell you her story first. So maybe I'll segue into that for a moment. Like I said, she's named Fotini, equal to the apostles. Her first apostolic work was after being told that she was a sinner by a stranger. She went to the town and said, "Come see a man who's told me everything I ever did." So she was like an apostle bringing people to the Lord. And that town, full of Samaritans, full of dirty people, full of the unclean, listened to Jesus and believed. So she's equal to the apostles for bringing them. But more than that, she had, I think, six sisters or five sisters. Let me see. I have it somewhere. She had five sisters and two sons. And she went all over preaching after being baptized. Eventually, she got the attention of Nero. All kinds of things happened. I don't have time to tell you all of it. But they withstood great tortures. And Nero, being the half-crazy, probably demon-possessed person that he was, became so enraged, he killed everybody but her and threw her down into a dry well. And she lamented that she couldn't be martyred with her sisters and sons. And eventually, I don't recall exactly, but she was out of the well, but then she reposed in prayer. And this is a woman who was not really doing it right. She had five husbands. She was living with a man. Nowadays, nobody cares. Well, I care. God cares. You should care. But most of the people don't care. It's completely unimportant if people live together. It's not important at all. But in those days, it was pretty important. Especially, to be perfectly honest with you, a woman who was considered to be immoral was ostracized. Men, because men are more powerful, they sometimes could get away with it. But a woman couldn't. So she wasn't really going the right way. And she wasn't really having a very good future to come. But the Lord talked to her. He just talked to her. "Give me the drink." And she's amazed. So she engages him. "Why would you ask me to drink? Jews don't have anything to do with us." There's another element, though, that's very important. Nowadays, kindness, there's very little kindness. But when people talk about kindness, they don't even get it right. Kindness in our politically correct day is to not say anything bad about anybody. You can think bad things if you want, but don't say anything bad. Don't have any moral convictions, because that's not kind, because that's hateful. You guys know this from the news and from being in the office and everything. People are totally offended if a person has a moral feeling about things, especially about sexual matters. But our Lord was kind, but he wasn't, shall we say, politically correct. He immediately, when she says, "Why do you ask me to drink?" He says, "If you had known who this is, you would have asked him to drink for water, and he would have given you living water." So he was kind, but very, very direct. But because he engaged her with kindness, she listened. And he told her some other things. And there's a lot of theology, and it's very interesting. But the most important thing is the Lord spoke to an outcast. And this outcast listened because she had a good heart, a noble heart. And even when he told her, he kind of sets her up. He says, go get your husband, knowing that she doesn't have a husband. So she says, I don't have one. That's true. She doesn't really want to tell the whole truth because it's embarrassing to her. And the Lord doesn't let her get away with it. He says, yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. The one you're with now is not your husband. And so what does she do? What would you do? Maybe walk away in a huff? How dare this person speak to me this way? How dare this person shame me? How dare this person say that, to bring it up to our current life, that what I'm doing is wrong? That this is an immoral thing to do? She didn't do any of that. She immediately says, I think you're a prophet. Spoke a little bit more. And then she went away to her people to say, come see this man. And what came out of that was a village that was saved and a woman who became equal to the apostles and a martyr. And she and her sisters and her sons were saved in martyrdom and by believing in Jesus Christ because our Lord sat at a well and talked with an outcast. That's what we should learn from this story. Actually, there's a lot of things to learn, but that's, to me, the take-home. And it's especially important when I hear somebody who just became an Orthodox Christian saying, what about if somebody fasts but they're mean? Well, give that man a cheeseburger and tell him to be kind. I don't care if you eat a cheeseburger on Holy Friday, two of them on Holy Friday, if you're kind. If you're mean, it doesn't matter if you fast and on bread and water for the rest of your life. You're just mean. And meanness is not necessarily that you curse people and that you gossip about people and that you just push people to the side. Meanness is that you don't notice people. That's meanness. Our Lord notices everything and everybody. And she was ready. And that example I told you about the boy who would have killed himself. Somebody noticed that he had a need. And he was not mean. And he took care of him. Very small thing that turned out with great fruit. You know, so many times as a confessor, I hear people that are really fixated on how hard their life is. Who are we trying to kid? How hard our life is. Why don't we think about how hard maybe we make life for others? If you think about that, and you act upon that, and act because of that, then your life is going to get better, I guarantee you. Because the grace of God is going to flow into your life. Because God will not give grace to a person who does not love. And that includes the indifferent, the inattentive, those who do not notice. It's the same stuff. We must learn to be kind as Christians. That's number one priority. Learn to love others. Learn to be lenient with people's faults. To learn to empathize with their pain. I'll tell you another story. Of course, it comes from a saint, but so what? You can do things that are holy today, even though you're not yourself holy. It's about Elder Paisios. He actually had to serve in the army as a young man. And he was fasting and he was praying all night in the army. I mean, he was holy when he was young. Of course, he was raised by a family that loved God and talked about God and prayed. And so he was raised without all these terrible influences that our children and our grandchildren and the people of the world have now, where they're not taught about kindness. They're not taught about purpose. Well, anyway, there was a man, a soldier, who had self-injured himself because he didn't want to go out to fight. Because the fighting was very wicked, and he was afraid. He had a wife and three children, so he was cowardly. So he injured himself. in a wartime, in that for the Greek army, you did that, that was a capital offense. If you were convicted of that, they take you, put you up by a hill, and shoot you. And the commander told, try to get somebody, bring that guy to the court to be tried. And nobody volunteered, but Paisius immediately did. And he brought the guy, and he was frightened, and he tried to do things to sort of slow it down. But Paisius said to him, "Don't worry, it's going to go very well for you. It's going to go better than you could ever imagine." Of course, he had some sort of understanding that we don't kind of have. I mean, you can't know how things are going to be for people, generally. But the important part of the story is this, not that he had this ability to look into a man's soul and to see some part of the future. That's just sort of the bells and whistles, you know. What's important is this. He recounted the story later in life, and he said that I could feel in my heart the man's pain. And because he felt the man's pain, he prayed. And here's what happened. It was as Paisius said. The man went to the place to be tried. There had been a letter already written by a commander that exonerated him of this offense and assigned him to be a cook. Not to carry a rifle, but to be a cook. Not only that, but the man was able to bring his children and his wife to be near him. And so he cooked for the soldiers food that wasn't very much available except for the army, because there was a lot of starvation at that time in Greece. And the leftover food fed his children and his wife. Now, why did this happen? It happened because Paisios felt the man's pain. He didn't just think, well, you know, this guy is a coward. I'm sending him to the get what he deserves. He felt the man's pain. And he prayed out to God because he felt that pain. That can happen with you today. I guarantee you, if you look in this room right now, count the people. I don't know, let's guess. Let's say it's 50 people. Do you know that there are 50 big problems? 50 people are having problems. Which one of us isn't? Which one of us doesn't have stuff going on? Which one of us doesn't have a hard struggle? Which one of us doesn't perhaps know what to do about something? Or need some comfort in some way? Now, when we say hello to each other, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Probably the most dishonest sentence ever said. I'm fine. We're rarely fine. I found that the ones who think they're fine are the most not fine. So, there are people that have needs. Perhaps you're not omniscient, or perhaps you don't have a gift like Paisius had. He wasn't omniscient, of course, but he sometimes could see into men's souls. But you can be kind. Perhaps you can't fast very well. Perhaps you don't read the Bible like I tell you to. Perhaps you're kind of lazy. Perhaps you have problems with some sins. None of those things are good. But you can be kind. You can notice people have needs. And you can react to their needs. And perhaps you're not very smart. You can't really figure out what to say to them. But you can care about them. And you can pray for them. And you can offer them a good word. And you can treat them with respect, with kindness, perhaps that they haven't been treated with before. That's this story. That's really the main part. Jesus was kind. And because of that, she was saved. Her children were saved. Her sisters were saved. Her village was saved. So maybe we'll be kind too, huh? Maybe we'll learn to be kinder. And then if we're kinder, then we'll learn to fast a little bit better too, and we'll learn to read a little bit more, and we'll learn to be less lazy. It'd be a terrible thing if we learned all those things without being kind, because then we'd be like a demon. It's better to be a bad person as far as those things go, and kind. Now, obviously, I'm not endorsing sin. But the most important thing is to be kind, to love, to notice. Don't kid yourself. If you don't notice, you're not kind. If you're indifferent, you're certainly not kind. And if you harm people with your words, with your actions, with your demeanor, then you're like a demon. May God, through the prayers of Saint Fotini, help us to be kind. Amen.